Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone here today. Lord's blessing on you. This kind of summer day, summery kind of day. It won't last long, though, will it? We're in Daniel chapter 4 this morning. We're working our way through the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4, and we're going to be reading the whole chapter this morning. The title of the message is God's Sovereign Rule. God's Sovereign Rule. King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell on all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace. I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last Daniel came in before me, he who was named Belteshazzar, and after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the vision of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The vision of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to the heaven, and it was visible to the ends of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heaven lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the vision of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said thus, Chop down the tree and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. But leave the stump of the roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, and the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men, and gives it to whomever he will, and sets it over the lowliest of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, saw, and you, O Belteshazzar, tell me the interpretation, because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known the interpretation. But you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. And the king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong, so that its top reached to the heavens, and it was visible to the ends of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and in which was food for all under which the beasts of the field found shade, and whose branches the birds of the heaven lived. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to the heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Chop down the tree and destroy it. We're going to have to do something about that, aren't we, Ben?
Live by technology and die by it too, right? Are we ready? Okay. I think I'm in verse 20. The tree you saw, which grew and became strong so that its top reached to heaven and was visible to the ends of the holy earth, a whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful and its fruit abundant, and it, which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field found shade, and whose branches the birds of heaven lived. It is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to the heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field, till 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon me, which has come upon my lord the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox. You shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, till you know the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomever he will. And as it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree, your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king answered and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you, until you know the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he will. Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle feathers and his nails were like birds' claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the hosts of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and my splendor returned to me. My counselors and my lord sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Every nation has some form of government. We live in a democratic republic where, through voting and political participation, people determine those who have power to make laws, to enforce laws, and to interpret the laws, and so to govern. There are other forms of democratic republics that differ slightly in how they legislate, enforce, and interpret the laws. Other countries are ruled by dictators and are small groups of powerful people, and the people of those countries basically have little to say about those who govern them. There is an appearance in every human form of government that people are in ultimate control. Whether through democratic processes or dictatorial or autocratic rule. However, if you make that assumption, you make the wrong assumption. The ruler and ultimate controller of every form of government among men is Almighty God Himself. Rulers and governments are under His authority, and He places persons or groups of people in power for His purposes, and ultimately for the accomplishment of His will. No person or groups of people functions, governs forever. All of them are going to be replaced by some others. They are in power and govern wherever they might govern by God's permission and God's choosing. He can exalt whomever He so chooses, and He can bring down those he so chooses according to his purposes. Nebuchadnezzar was the earthly ruler of the Babylonian empire. He ruled the ancient empire of Babylon for 43 years. During this time as ruler, his armies basically conquered the known world and subdued the peoples of the world to live under his authority. During this time also, he made the city of Babylon one of the most fabulous cities on the face of the earth. His building projects in the city of Babylon built more than 20 temples to false gods. He built the famous Hanging Gardens of Babylon, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. He fortified the city of Babylon. He made walls. In fact, there were two levels of walls. And on some of those walls, chariots could ride. He fortified the city. He built the Ishtar Gate. And in the midst of all these accomplishments, Nebuchadnezzar needed to learn that all his accomplishments were only because of the plans and purposes of the God of Israel. Because the God of Israel was the true sovereign ruler of the entire world and universe. Now, God had been teaching Nebuchadnezzar. As you go through the book of Daniel, you see God teaching Nebuchadnezzar about himself through his exposure to those who believed him. Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 2, Daniel learned that God was the revealer of his plans and purposes for the world. In the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, God revealed to him what he was going to do in the future. In Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar learned that God alone was worthy of worship, and he was a protector for those who trusted him and who would only worship him. In this chapter, Daniel 4, Nebuchadnezzar alone learned that God alone was the sovereign ruler of the universe, and he gives authority to whomever he wants, and he takes it away from whomever he chooses. This timeless truth is found at least three times in this passage of Scripture, in verse 17 and verse 25 and verse 32. And Nebuchadnezzar needed to learn it, and we also need to learn this truth. And that truth is this: God Most High rules over the kingdoms of men and gives them to whomever he wishes. God Most High rules over the kingdoms of men and gives them to whomever he wishes. Now, there are principles that we see in this experience of Nebuchadnezzar's life that apply to all of us, and I want us to look at them as we go through this chapter today. Believers testify to God's powerful working among us. Now, as we begin this chapter, we see Nebuchadnezzar is issuing a decree. And he's testifying, Nebuchadnezzar, the pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, who did not believe or know anything about the true God, is testifying to the greatness of God. Now think about this fantastic kind of fact as we look at the book of Daniel. This world ruler is actually written part of the scripture of God's perfect word. And he's testifying to how great God is. He testifies to how great God is. He greets the people of the world, wishes them well. And then he talks about what God was doing in his life. Nebuchadnezzar praises God for his great signs and wonders that have been taking place in his life. Right at the beginning, as he tells what has happened to him, he acknowledges God's kingdom as an everlasting kingdom and an everlasting dominion. Unlike his own, Nebuchadnezzar was getting old at this time, and probably he realized his life was not going to last much longer. But he said, the kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom, and God has everlasting dominion, unlike the kingdoms of men. Nebuchadnezzar was testifying to God's mighty working in his life to all the peoples of the world. And you know, that's what believers should do. That's what we should do. We should always be ready to praise God for all he has done for us and tell others about it. You see, don't ever take for granted what God is doing in your life and is moving and is working through you and in you and for you. The mighty God of the universe loves you. He saved you and he works on your behalf and he draws us continually to himself. And don't ever lose the awe of that. Nebuchadnezzar was in awe of the God of Israel, of the true and living God of the universe. He testified to God's powerful working in his life, and we should testify to God's powerful working in our life. There's a second principle we need to learn from this passage of Scripture, and that is this. Believers thank God for his drawing power. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had another dream, and that dream disturbed him. He brought in all his advisors, the men who sought to advise him through their intellect, through their opinions, through their experiences, their religions and methods. He brought in these advisors, but none of them could or would even venture to guess an opinion about what the dream meant. I think they saw in the dream something ominous, as did Nebuchadnezzar. And they would not even guess, that they would not even begin to try to tell the king what his dream meant. But finally, Daniel came in. And then the king acknowledged Daniel as the chief of his magicians, the chief of his advisors. And he also knew that there was something different about Daniel, because he said the spirit of the holy gods is within you. Nebuchadnezzar was basically a polytheist. He believed in many gods, but he knew that there was something different about Daniel. He seemed to be in touch with God. He told him his dream. He said, I saw and behold a tree in the middle of the earth. It was beautiful. It was great. Its trees were abundant. It provided food for all. The beasts of the earth found a shade in it. The birds rested in it. There was fruit in it. And then I saw the vision, a watcher, a holy one, come down from heaven, an angelic watcher, an angelic being. And he proclaimed, chop the leaves and cut off its branches. Strip off the leaves and scatter its fruit. He said, let the bees from under it, they're going to flee from it, and the birds are going to flee from its branches. But leave the stump and its roots in the earth bound with the band of iron amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. And then notice it changes from talking about a tree to talking about a man. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast of the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let seven periods of time pass over him. And so he told Daniel this dream, and that the sentence is the decree of the watchers. It's a decision of the holy ones. Until he knows that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever he will and sets over it the lowliest of men. Now, that was the dream. That was the dream. Nebuchadnezzar recognized that God was saying something to him, that God was working in his life, and he sought to know exactly what God was saying. Now, think about what is happening here. God is working in Nebuchadnezzar's life, and he's teaching him, and he's drawing Nebuchadnezzar to himself. Now, we often think people seek God, but the truth is nobody seeks God until God first seeks him or her. You see, God's the one looking for us. God is the one seeking us. When you read in the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God, and God came looking for them. God found Noah. God called Abraham. And God was working in Nebuchadnezzar's life to draw Nebuchadnezzar to himself. And it's the same way in your life and my life. We don't even know we really need God until God begins to draw us to himself. Maybe it's through circumstances, and we see that we're not in control of our lives like we thought we were. But something happens in our life when we realize something's missing. And God begins to draw us to himself. He begins to speak to us and work in our lives. And when God begins to speak to us and draw us to himself, the Bible says we should respond to him. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he'll have mercy on him. And to our God he'll freely pardon. You see, as God is looking for you, he's seeking to pardon you. He's seeking to make you his child. He's seeking to draw you closer to himself. And you need to respond to him. Respond to this loving God's drawing and wooing. the mighty ruler of the universe is like. That's what he's like. He's seeking you and me, and he was seeking Nebuchadnezzar. Don't spurn him, but yield to him. Believers thank God for his drawing power. There's something else that we need to thank God for. All people need to heed God's warnings. Now, when Daniel heard the dream, he was shaken. Daniel was an advisor to the king. He was a loyal subject. The king had always treated him well. And the scripture says that he was silent for a while. In fact, you know, the language is that he was silent for like an hour. Not necessarily it's a symbolic thing. It didn't mean he didn't talk for an hour, but when he heard it, he was silent. He just was dumbfounded before the king. And the king encouraged him. Tell me what this means. The message that God was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar was a hard message. It was a hard message. Daniel told the king the tree was him. Daniel said, King, you've been blessed greatly. God's given you authority over much of the peoples of the world. He has prospered the peoples of the world through you. Your authority and your kingdom has expanded, and your greatness is great, the greatest man in the world at that time. But then Daniel says the watcher, and a watcher is basically an angel, and an angel is watching over what's happening here. There are certain angels that the scripture indicates that watch over men. We have these discussions about whether children have a guardian angel. I think there's some New Testament evidence for that. But the Old Testament kind of teaches that there are angels kind of guardians over major nations. And so the watcher, an angel responsible for watching over the nation of Babylon, and the other watchers, the angel came down and ordered the tree chopped down and stripped. And Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, the tree represents you. Daniel said, your authority is going to be removed from you. And Daniel tells the king, and just as the words move from talking about a tree to talking about a man, he says, you're going to be driven away from others by kind of insanity, and you're going to live as an animal for 7 years. Now, there are actual cases of a disease called zoanthropy, where people think they are animals. Specific cases of this disease, like lycanthropy. You ever see werewolf movies as a kid? I did. I used to like that kind of stuff. But anyway, lycanthropy. People, people supposedly cursed and transformed into werewolves. I think that comes from there were people who actually thought they were wolves. They had a kind of insanity. They thought they were wolves. This one is probably a boanthropy, where he thinks he's a cow. He thinks he's like a cow, a cattle. And so there are actual cases of this kind of disease in psychological journals. And so the Most High God was warning Nebuchadnezzar that if he persisted in his pride against God, he would insanely live like an animal for 7 years. Now, Daniel then gave a word of hope to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel said, God's warning you. And Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, heed God's warning. And this discipline might be averted. You see, when God gives a warning and places obstacles in the path that he does not want you on, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. If God says to you a hard thing, if maybe a friend sees something in your life that needs correcting and he speaks to you about it, or through a sermon or a message, God says something to you and it seems like he wants you to do something that's difficult or hard, he wants you to listen to him, it's not because he doesn't love you, it's because he does love you. Heed the warning of God. You know, people don't want to be warned anymore of the wages of sin that is death. People don't want to be warned about the long-lasting and far-reaching consequences of sin. But those warnings are not because of a God who doesn't love us, it's because of a God who does love us. Heed the warnings of God. All people need to heed God's warnings. There's another principle we see in this book, and that believers interpret difficulties and hardships as God's loving discipline. Now, it seems that for a year, Nebuchadnezzar kind of heeded the warning, but not wholeheartedly. Pride still filled his heart. He was on the roof of his palace. He was looking over the fabulous city of Babylon, and he said, "Is this not the great Babylon which I built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" Notice the total self involved in that. I did it, and I did it for myself. And then the fulfillment of the dream began immediately. God spoke to him, and if you read the scripture closely, it's like he spoke in an audible voice to Nebuchadnezzar and said, "The kingdom has departed from you, Nebuchadnezzar. You're going to live like an animal for 7 years." Now, in Babylon, there were these huge parks and gardens. And probably Nebuchadnezzar could have lived like an animal even there, and maybe most of the population would not even know about what he was going through, what he was struggling with. You know, there have been times in the history of our country, for instance, during the last couple years of Woodrow Wilson's presidency, he was sick. He was so sick he probably couldn't even govern. And his wife and others kind of stepped in his place. Well, Nebuchadnezzar was living like an animal, wandering around, eating grass and things growing in the field, living outside. His hair grew long as eagle feathers. His toenails and his fingernails grew out so long that they looked like the claws of an animal. This happened to Nebuchadnezzar. This was God's discipline on him for his pride and for him thinking he had done it all himself. But understand this, it didn't happen for Nebuchadnezzar's destruction, but for his redemption. God's purposes in this insanity that came to him were for his good. You know, we often can't see anything good coming out of illnesses or difficulties or tragedies. But when those things do come your way, they're not meant to destroy you, but to refine you, to help you walk closer to God. Now, not every difficulty is because you have some unconfessed sin like Nebuchadnezzar. I'm not saying that. But every difficulty God allows in your life is meant for your good and the good of his people. And Hebrews 12:7 reminds us of how we are to respond to every difficulty. It says this, "Endure hardships as discipline." God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his fathers? Good fathers. And God is the best father of all. They discipline their children for their good. And so the hardships that come in our life, they're not meant to destroy you, but they're meant to help you to draw closer to God and to live for God. And whatever comes, whatever difficulty and tragedy that God allows in your life, he doesn't want it to destroy you. He wants it to use you to draw him to himself and to help you live the way he wants you to live. I'm reminded of what Meghan McCain said about her father, John McCain, at his funeral a few weeks ago. She said when she was a little girl, she had been riding a horse, and she fell off of it, and I think she broke her wrist. She broke some bone. And so she was crying. They took her to the hospital, and the bone was set. Well, immediately after the bone was set, her father took her back out to the riding range. And he got that same horse that threw her, and he made her get up on it and ride it again. And she said, "I was so mad at him to make me do that. But I understood now what he was trying to do. He wanted me to face my fears. He wanted me to get back on that horse and ride it again. And that's what I did. And he was teaching me that I could face the fears of my life, that when I fell, it didn't have to destroy me." And he did this not because he hated his daughter, but because he wanted the teacher not to be afraid. It was a loving discipline of a loving father. You see, every difficulty in our lives, that it's meant to do that for us. You see, We need to see every difficulty as a way that we can draw closer to God, that we can become more like Jesus. Believers interpret difficulties and hardships as God's loving discipline. There's one more principle that I want us to see in this passage of Scripture, and that's this. Believers submit to and continue to acknowledge God's greatness and rule. Well, at the end of 7 years, Nebuchadnezzar lifted his eyes to heaven. Now notice that. He lifted his eyes to heaven. No one could help him in his insanity. But there was one who could, and Nebuchadnezzar lifted his eyes to him. He looked to God. And it says his reason returned to him. You know, we need to understand something. It's when we look to God and see life the way that God sees it, that we really think as rational human beings. Whenever someone walks in pride, he walks in irrationality. Seeing that God himself is the ruler and the controller of the universe, the sovereign, and he gives to people as he wishes, is seeing life as it really is. If you think that you're in control of your life, you don't have a grip on reality, because you can't even give yourself one breath. Nebuchadnezzar saw that God was the ruler and the controller of life, and he turned his head to heaven, and he began to think rationally once again. And he blessed and praised and honored God Most High, who lives forever. You see, Nebuchadnezzar knew he wouldn't live forever, but God Most High was in his head. He knew his life was not in his hands. He was not the master of his fate or the captain of his soul. And so Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged that. And the participles here used indicate that he blessed, honored, and praised, and it became a pattern of his life. He acknowledged that God Most High's dominion was forever and his kingdom was endured. He acknowledged that he himself and all the inhabitants of the world are counted as nothing. We might think we are essential or important, but God doesn't need our help. And God does what he chooses, and no one can correct him. It's interesting that no one can slap his hand. That's kind of what the language of Scripture means. No one can say to him, why did you do this, or what have you done? You see, people often think that God should have to answer to them for what he does. People are always accusing God without ever reading his word, without ever seeking to know what he's really like. And people seem to think that God needs to answer to them. We always have these people, I'm going to ask God this when I get to heaven. I'm going to ask God that. Or, God, why did you do this? People think God needs to answer them, but this scripture helps us to see that you and I and every human being, we will answer to God and not the other way around. As Nebuchadnezzar submitted to God, God restored him to his earthly kingdom, and he confessed, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. You see, notice Nebuchadnezzar was even acknowledging this discipline that had happened to him was right and just. He submitted himself to the true and living God. In the same way, we are to submit ourselves and everything we are to the rule and reign of God in our lives and confess that his ways are right and just. Believers submit to and continue acknowledges God's greatness and rule. Every one of us need to do that every single day. You know, sometimes we think the world is ruled by tyrants, don't we? But God is the sovereign ruler. As believers, we can testify to God's powerful workings among us. We can thank God for his drawing power. We can heed God's warnings and encourage others to heed God's warnings. We can interpret difficulties and hardships as his loving discipline. And we can submit and continue to acknowledge his greatness and his rule, and so we should. You know, I want to say to you this morning, don't be overly impressed or overly depressed, no matter who is in power. Never place your hope on whichever party you like seems to be in control of the government at any time. Our hope is not in the governments of men, in the parties of men. Our hope is in the living God. No matter how bleak it might be, our God reigns. No matter how bleak it might be, our God reigns. God Most High rules over the kingdoms of men and gives them to whoever He wishes. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that You are the King and the ruler of the universe. And we acknowledge, O God, that You truly are the ruler of our lives. And Father, we don't want to just passively acknowledge that. We want to actively submit ourselves to You and say, we will follow You. We believe that You love us. We know that You care for us. We know that You want the best for us. And so, Father, we submit to You and seek Your will and Your purposes and Your plans. Lord, we know that because we have a Savior who died for us, the one You sent to save us from our sin, the one who took the nails for our transgressions, the one who died in our place. Father, not only are You the sovereign ruler of the universe, but You are a God who has shown us that He loves us by Christ dying for us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You've done for us. Thank You that You are the sovereign Lord of the universe, and help us to submit to You in everything. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.